The show you're about to hear was live today at noon, so save your call and questions for next Monday, post them on my Facebook page, Culinary Nutritionist Stephanie Sachs, or tweet me at Stephanie Sachs. Enjoy the show. Stirring the Pot is presented by Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa. For over 15 years, Naturopathica has been the Hampton source for holistically soothing massages and facials, complemented by their complete line of all-natural skincare and anti-aging products. Information available at 631-329-2525 or naturopathicaspa.com. And by East Hampton Dental Group, a multi-specialty dental practice with a caring, experienced team led by Dr. Mambrino and Dr. Venn. They provide many specialties of integrative dentistry all in one location. The state-of-the-art office is located in the heart of East Hampton Village. Information available at 631-324-6800 and ehdental.com. With additional support from Ross School, serving students in pre-nursery through grade 12 and beyond. With campuses in East Hampton and Bridgehampton, Ross offers a global curriculum in science, math, arts, and humanities, competitive athletics, travel, and college placement, and a wellness program featuring Ross Cafe's regional, organic, seasonal, and sustainable cuisine. More information on Ross School, including its summer camp and lifelong learning classes at ross.org. Hi, I'm Stephanie Sachs, your resident culinary nutritionist. I'm a professional chef. I have a master's in nutrition, and I love to talk food and health. So thanks for tuning in. Stirring the Pot is a co-production of WPPB and Stirring the Pot Productions, and I am so grateful for the sponsorship of Naturopathica Spa, East Hampton Dental Group, and the Ross School. And to Nancy Atlas, you're away somewhere beautiful and warm. Thank you for writing the theme song to the show. It's catching on. We have people at WPPB singing it.
I know. I walked in today, and they're all like going, stirring the pot.
I love it. That's Gear, my creative director and technical wizard behind the screen here. Hi.
I'm waving for those of you who don't see.
Yeah. So we learned quite a bit from our last show, and I'm hoping that I got some of my wiggles out.
Yeah, I would say so, based on the emails and comments that we got from our listeners last week.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I'm new at this. So we've got a great show today. We're going to talk nutrition prescription with Dr. Carolyn Fierro, who is quiet but in studio with us right now.
But what is the I keep hearing you saying that phrase, and for those of us that don't exactly know what nutrition prescription means, it means?
I spend my life talking food and health. And there are a lot of doctors out there who don't even look at diet as a way to manage or prevent or treat illness. And so the nutrition prescription is basically when a doctor is talking to you about food. So they're giving you a prescription for a particular type of diet. And it could be limit refined foods and eat more fruits and vegetables, but at least they're starting to talk food to you and link, you know, what we eat to our health.
Yeah, I went out and we did a field report this week, and I noticed that a lot of people, their doctors would either not have said anything about nutrition to them, or if they had, indeed, it was because of a precondition, you know, like high cholesterol or high cholesterol.
Right, or high cholesterol.
That used to be.
Or diabetes.
Or diabetes.
Or
those
obesity.
Were the two, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't speak to anybody that complained about obesity.
Right. Well, sometimes the weight will go hand in hand with the diabetes. Also in studio with us is Dr. Greg Malberti, and he's not a doctor like Dr. Carolyn Fierro. He is the head of Ross School, and we're psyched to have him here today, too.
And here's on our section, Anyone Who Eats. And that's where we invite anyone that can come in and share their love of foods and or their troubles, or like Stephanie likes to call it. I've gone through with her on a few different clients, and she always goes, what is your one I cannot live without item? In my case, that would be a caramel macchiato from Starbucks. I'm working on that one, though. I'm working on the green tea thing.
Oh, well, and sometimes you go for a latte. And I'll share mine later, perhaps. And in studio as well is the wonderful James Blueweiss, my manager, chief inquisitor,
He's
the brains behind the project.
He came up with the name Stirring the Pot, by the way, as we heard on your interview with Bonnie Grice this morning.
Yeah, thanks to Bonnie.
Fabulous interview, by the way.
Thank you.
I think Bonnie is the girl of the girls. I mean, can you imagine? I wouldn't even go on my roof to dig snow off my rooftop. But hey, kudos, Bonnie. You're great.
Yeah, so it was fun being on and talking to Bonnie this morning. I want to jump to my blog. This week, I wrote a blog called The Good Doctor, which explored why doctors don't talk food and nutrition. Guys, did you read the blog?
I read it.
Oh.
I read it too, and I have to say it made me a little sad.
Why?
Because you started out the blog talking about how your kids always get lollipops, and that's what, I never got a lollipop when I was a kid.
So are you sad that you didn't get a lollipop, or are you sad?
I was taking it what's wrong with me? Why didn't I get a lollipop?
Of course you were taking it personally.
He's right, though. I never got a lollipop either.
I'm like, who are these doctors that are giving out lollipops, and where were they when I was a kid?
I didn't even get painkillers. It was like, oh, just come on, you just get out of it. You know, you're a man. Five years old, I'm a man.
It's like, man,
you know,
what's wrong
with you?
Maybe in Iceland they don't give a lot, because Gear's from Iceland. But basically, I've had several experiences. The inspiration for the blog is that I've had several experiences where I've taken my kids to the doctor. And despite the fact that the doctors know what I do for a living, they offer my kids Dum-Dums lollipops on the way out. And my children know better at this point than to say no thank you. But I've resorted to bringing in my own pops, because I don't want to be this militant mom where, no, every other kid gets a lollipop and mine don't. So I'm big into what are the healthier alternatives. So not that candy is healthy in and of itself. Let's look at it for what it is. Here, would you like one? I brought the lollipops in. These are called Yummy Earth.
I'll take one.
Organic lollipops. They're delicious flavors. And this is my brand of the week, actually. My good brand ambassador speaking here. Blueberry. Two-berry blueberry is one of the flavors.
All right, I'll take that.
And then
They look great. They're very colorful.
And there's Tango Mango. But what's really cool is this company, I'm going sort of off course here, but this company was started by two dads who was really upset by the candy that was on the market for kids. And so they started this company called Yummy Earth. And so I bring these lollipops to the doctor's office, and I actually also bring them to the bank, because the bank likes to give out dog bones and lollipops to your kids. So I just give them bags, and I say, please give these to my kids. And the cases of the doctors, I've actually bought tubs for the doctors. And you can get them usually at a local health food store or...
But why would you buy them candy? I mean, why are you replacing candy with candy? Why wouldn't you just go buy nuts, for instance?
You could, but there are certain things...
If you buy nuts, then we could have Jamie drive out the nuts. And now you have a manager that manages your affairs. You have a guy that's driving them nuts. Then you go out here and you perform in the radio, and then we have a manager that drives us nuts.
But I'm bummed.
But honestly, I think that's a really good question, Gear, is why not bring them nuts? Why bring lollipops? There's a very fine balance between, I've seen so many kids develop serious food issues later in life because their parents are so, so strict with eating healthfully, and the kids feel, you know, alienated. And so I don't want to create that for my kids. Let them have a lollipop, but let them have a healthier version of the lollipop. And that's kind of what I'm about. But I think the more important thing is why aren't doctors talking about nutrition, and why is it something that...
Well, aren't there quite a few organizations not-for-profits that are trying to get healthier foods into the healthcare system, or to be more specific, you know, into hospitals?
Well, actually, you know, we have one right here on Long Island, St. Charles Hospital, and I was really excited to find out about this through a client who was going into rehab there after a knee replacement. They have a private chef, and they have a stellar food service program. They work very hard to do that, and actually they are one of the hospitals on Long Island, actually, that leading this movement in hospitals, you know, trying to take a better course with food.
We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to remind our listeners to please call in. We're going to open up our phone lines, and the topic is health, nutrition, and a healthy lifestyle. You can ask Steph any question that you like. Our phone number is 1-800-394-8830. That's 1-800-394-8830. We'll be right back after this.
Stirring the Pot is presented in part by East Hampton Dental Group, a multi-specialty dental practice with a caring, experienced team led by Dr. Mambrino and Dr. Venn. They provide many specialties of integrative dentistry all in one location. The state-of-the-art office is located in the heart of East Hampton Village. Information available at 631-324-6800 and ehdental.com.
I love you. I love you so much. I love you. I love you so much. I love you. I love you so much. La la la. Bobby, I love you so much. La la la. Bobby. I love you. I love you so much.
I hope you're coming back.
I love you, but
my name is just for you.
Mommy,
Mommy, when are you coming back?
I want you to learn all the Icelandic, like
So, Stephanie, I just wanted to play this for you. Just to let you know that even though you do take your kids to the doctor and have them pricked and probed, that they do love you. And this is for all you moms out there. And so even if they do not get the lollipop...
Like Jim didn't get the lollipop.
Yeah, I still love my mom.
He did not get the lollipop, poor thing, and I still feel really sad for him.
So I finally got it now, so I'm happy.
Well, we have a new thing this week that I'm going to play for you. This is our weekly field report. Stephanie's armed me with some questions, and I'm going to let you just hear what it's all about. There it is.
There we go.
Sorry about that. For this week's field report, I decided to pop into the town of East Hampton, stop by Jones Papa's Diner, sat down, ordered some lunch, and armed with questions from Stephanie Sachs, I started to ask the patrons some questions. Does your doctor ever talk to you about your diet?
You know, my doctor hasn't talked to me about my diet, but that may be because I've never had an issue with it.
Yes, my regular doctor does, and my pediatrician does.
No. I don't even have a doctor.
When he or she talks to you about diet, has it anything to do with, like, eat more veggies or something more specific?
I have a problem with cholesterol, so I have to eat less of that.
My regular doctor had asked me if I ever did cleanses before, and I said, what, a cleanse? And she said, yeah, like a juice cleanse. So there you go.
Do you do what your doctor recommends?
I try.
Sometimes, not always. I kind of... go to my regular doctors and then seek alternative or complementary care to supplement it.
If not, what would be the obstacle?
Taste. You know, butter is delicious. It makes everything taste great. And I don't like butter substitutes at all. So that's mainly it. I have no problem not eating meat. That's not a problem.
The obstacles with the doctor recommending is that they don't take in the whole body. They only take in what they're dealing with at the time and don't look at the body as a complete system.
So that was the field report, my first field report. I had a really good time doing it.
That was great. I love it. I love it. I love giving you questions and sending you out to ask them because then I never know what you're going to come up with when you edit it.
People looked at me weird with some of these questions. But hey, it's food and nutrition. I mean, when it came to the doctors, though, they got sometimes really defensive about it.
Speaking of which, we have Dr. Caroline Fierro in the studio with us right now. She has a... thriving practice in Southampton. She practices integrative functional medicine. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Happy to be here. Enjoying the show.
It's so much fun to talk shop with you. And we've met for
it
tea
always
a few
is,
times.
Yes.
I know.
Always.
We could go on forever.
Absolutely, we can.
So I'm wondering, you know, the first question I have for you is maybe some of the listeners out there don't really know what integrative functional medicine is or the idea of complementary alternative, and maybe you could clarify that for some people.
Oh, absolutely. And it goes right along with your topic of nutrition is really what your health is all about. I believe in, and all of functional medicine practitioners believe in, preventing the disease before it happens. And we do that by looking individually at each person and how their body functions and make a plan of life for them, healing whatever nutritional and hormonal deficiencies they have at this time, but really preventing them going forward. And what you eat plays a huge, huge role in how your body works.
It does. And I mean, I see that regularly because we'll refer patients back and forth.
Yes.
Because so much of what I'm doing is bringing this nutrition prescription home and driving it home. And I don't have the clinical training that you have to be able to deal with a lot of the illnesses that you deal with.
Right. After a long period of time, and even for some people, a short period of time of eating processed foods, artificial sweeteners, and sugars, you can have such a hormonal and nutritional disruption that you can no longer make energy. So people sometimes need even more than just the changing of the diet and the nutrition. They actually will need a supplementation or a medication over a period of time to help heal and restore their bodies.
That brings up a good point, which is, you know, this concept of integrative functional medicine is really using a lot of the tools that conventional medicine does when needed, like medications and diagnostics, but then also balancing with, you know, supplements and perhaps hormone therapies and diet,
yes,
which is so critical. What made you steer clear of the traditional MD?
Well, it was interesting. I always thought when I was becoming a doctor, I was going to become somebody who could heal a person. And year after year of hearing my patients say, I don't feel well, I'm tired, I don't know what's wrong, and I would have no reply for them. So I studied medical acupuncture, and then I started to see that the people who ate well, who stayed away from sugar and alcohol and breads, were doing really well, and I knew I needed to learn more. So I went out to learn more, and I learned through the Institute of Functional Medicine and the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine to really go out and learn how nutrition plays a role in our body.
You know, that brings up a really important point, is that in medical school, as I said in my blog, the average medical student thinks that their nutrition education is inadequate, according to a National Institute of Health survey. For example, you went outside the box to learn this.
Yes, I absolutely did. I was very fortunate in medical school. We had electives that we could take, and I took a nutrition elective because it was something I was seeking out for my own knowledge. Really, you don't learn very much nutrition, and I don't really blame the system a lot because there's so much to learn. It's
right.
Where do you put it in? What do you take out? Well, of course, you can't take out physiology and biochemistry, and it's such a limited time, but I really do believe that in the advanced years, in the residency training programs, they definitely could do better to put nutrition into these programs.
Well, and there are, I mean, if you look at what Andrew Weil is doing over at the University of Arizona, or you look at Bastyr University out on the West Coast, there are medical schools and universities that are working towards this model.
It's they definitely just, are.
We're just not there yet.
Not and yet.
So what is a typical patient? Like if I came into your office,
mm-hmm,
what would it be like? You would spend quite a bit of time with me, I'm assuming, because
yes,
it takes a while to do
it
a patient intake.
Yes. So I have about an hour to an hour and a half initial consultations where we...
That's long.
That's long, but it takes a long time to learn about somebody, to see what their lifestyle is and their habits are. And as you're speaking over an hour period of time, it's amazing what people divulge to you.
It's amazing.
As you create a relationship with somebody. And I evaluate not only your lifestyle, how you sleep, how you eat, how you exercise, but also I do blood work and do other nutritional testings to see what you're deficient in and how we can rebalance your lifestyle to fill what your body needs.
I mean, and that is such a gift. I mean, the average doctor's appointment is 18 minutes.
It's crazy.
And that is such a gift. And I always say to people when I recommend that they see you or see somebody in the space, they complain oftentimes about the cost. And I always say to them that some insurance companies will cover and some won't, or some will cover partial. But in the end, it's your health and that's all you have. And so it's best to form a relationship with a doctor who can really take a comprehensive look at your lifestyle.
Right. Well, of course, I agree with you because I want to feel well and I want to prevent disease for a lot of people, because people really can't be happy if they're not feeling well. And that, I think, is a gift to know what to do for yourself.
No, it is a gift. In the end, you know, all we do have is our health. And so we want to take really good care of it. So what's a typical patient like for you?
Well, there's a wide variety, and I see children all the way up to people in their 80s. But the biggest complaint is I know that something's wrong with me. I am tired. My mind is foggy, or my child can't concentrate in school. My child's tired at noon every day. And it's really looking and evaluating what they're doing that's causing that, and maybe looking for optimum blood levels and not only what the standard ranges of the lab tells you. So you know when, or I know when, to use a medication versus an herb versus, you know, no artificial sweetener because that's causing your headaches. It's really looking for the problem. But the average patient really is complaining of being tired.
You know, that's so interesting that you say that, because last spring, I got a terrible stomach virus. I was just wiped out and I wasn't getting better. I went to my doctor, my local doctor. They took all my blood tests and everything was fine. But I know how to read blood, so I was looking at the bloods and I knew that I had certain levels, like my vitamin Bs, my vitamin Ds, and my iron were low normal. So that was a trigger for me. And at that time, this was over a year ago, I called a colleague of mine up and I actually went into the city to see her. She put me on supplementation and she said, and she's an integrative functional medicine as well. And she said, they're in the normal range, but you're low normal. So a lot of times I find that doctors don't look beyond what's exactly on the paper in front of them.
Right. And I agree with you. And it's something that you have to go as a practitioner to go out and learn what is optimum for each vitamin, each mineral, each hormone. And it takes time and it takes effort. And it can be very hard if you're only seeing somebody for 6 minutes.
I know. I'm really curious to ask you this. What is one of the most fascinating cases you've ever had?
There are many of them, but one of the most fascinating was a client that I've known for a long period of time who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which is a degenerating disease of the myelin that covers your nerves.
And it's an autoimmune disease.
It's an autoimmune disease. And really delving into autoimmune disease and noticing that there's a connection with the amount of animal dairy that we intake in our diet, and really how remarkably well he has done and hasn't progressed his disease at all by just simply changing his diet.
Yeah, it's amazing. I find autoimmune diseases are some of the most obscure diseases to work with.
They really are.
And everybody acts and reacts differently to different scenarios. I find that diet is so powerful in the autoimmune arena.
It really, really is. And it's knowing that though for this gentleman, dairy was the trigger, that for somebody else, it could be nitrates. For somebody else, it could be a reaction to a beverage that they're having, and that every person is different, and being able to test and find that, you know, lifestyle change so you can do well.
I mean, it can even be additives in our food, such as food dyes or sulfur dioxide, which there are a lot of allergies and reactivities towards.
Yes, there definitely is. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Fascinating. Well, you really should check out what Dr. Caroline Fierro is doing. And you're at www.antiagingfamily.com, right?
Yes, I am.
But you're not just doing anti-aging.
No, we're doing functional medicine as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. She is a wealth of information.
Why, thank you.
And I love talking shop with you. So
we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
So our topic today is nutrition prescription. And we have Dr. Caroline Fierro. You can also comment on our Facebook page. We will get that as well.
The show you're about to hear was live today at noon, so save your call and questions for next Monday, post them on my Facebook page, Culinary Nutritionist Stephanie Sachs, or tweet me at Stephanie Sachs. Enjoy the show. Stirring the Pot is presented by Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa. For over 15 years, Naturopathica has been the Hamptons' source for holistically soothing massages and facials, complemented by their complete line of all-natural skincare and anti-aging products. Information available at 631-329-2525 or naturopathicaspa.com. You're listening to Stephanie Sacks, and this is Stirring the Pod on WPPB 88.3, a one-hour radio talk show focusing on food, nutrition, and health. And in studio with me, I have Dr. Caroline Fierro.
Hello.
Hello, darling. Thank you for humoring all my questions.
Anytime.
So I know that we have a couple people in studio here right now who have some questions for you. Jim.
Yes, Dr. Fierro, I had the pleasure of talking to you before the show aired, and I was kind of complaining about how in the last year or two I've been having reactions to red wine, certain foods with nitrates, and I was wondering if it has anything to do with my age and if these things appear more often.
Yes.
When you cross that age barrier.
I don't know that you've crossed that barrier yet. But yes, we do see more food sensitivities as we have changes in our hormones with time. You know, instead of age, we say with time. So you definitely...
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You want to look for deficiencies in a man, especially of testosterone. You want to make sure your thyroid is functioning properly, as well as that your gut is able to manage the foods that you're putting in. And we spoke that there could be a B vitamin issue, and we also discussed that maybe the amount of animal dairy that you eat may be too much, because really animal dairy isn't something that is easy to process in our bodies after the age of two, and it's really not something we really need to put a lot of in our bodies. And
then I mentioned the Got Milk campaign and how,
yes,
you know, I thought children are encouraged to drink milk. And
Stephanie, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think that that's a bit of an antiquated way of thinking.
Yes.
I think that we're moving more towards a society that is focusing on a plant-based diet. And it doesn't mean that you have to eat a plant-based diet all the time. But I think that there are so many issues with our food system. Actually, it brings me to an interesting point about our food system, because my pot was stirred pretty intensely this week when I read an article by one of my favorite journalists, Mother Jones Magazine, Tom Philpott. Did you know that 4/5 of the antibiotics produced are used on animals?
I have heard that, and that is one of the good reasons not to have animal dairy, because the antibiotics do disrupt your gut flora and disrupt your hormones.
Right. And there is a way to avoid it. You can buy animal products without hormones or antibiotic residues.
Which you can. But if you've looked at other reports, even in those most pure and organic products, you can find hormone. So it's really a limitation to what
Absolutely.
You can take in. And having a very low amount of this in your diet is the best. And I am animal dairy free 8 years.
Yeah. And I mean, I like to call it moderation, because I think that a lot of people get a little scared.
I have
patients who go to someone like you, whether it's you or other people, and they come to me and they're like deers in headlights. And
yes.
They're like, oh my God, my doctor told me I can never eat this and never eat that. And I'm like, okay, deep breath.
Right. Well, which I can tell you, I have matured and modified where I do say limit, and I do allow a bowl of pasta once in a while. And I have made changes where I'm not as militant. But in the very beginning, if you are ill and you are not functioning at your best, sometimes not having something
Absolutely.
For 21 days, and it's great for your health. And
no,
it certainly
it
won't be the end of the world.
It is. And, you know, when I was in my teens, I did a very restrictive diet because of health problems. It's actually what jump-started my fascination, or part of what jump-started my fascination into this world of food and nutrition, was that by just following a restrictive diet for a month, I ended up going off of 5 different medications I was on for asthma and allergies.
That's amazing.
And it was fascinating. So if you're listening out there, it does actually work. You don't need to go extreme. You can do it moderately, but any bit helps.
It certainly does. The one thing, though, that we always talk about is the artificial sweeteners. And I really wish people would know not even to use those in moderation.
Yeah.
Don't use them at all.
Yeah.
They disrupt your cell membrane function. So I always like to say, so you'll be obese and you won't know who you are.
Right.
So you really don't need them.
Well, I have this catchy little list that I call the top rated Terminators, and artificial sweeteners are one of them. Yeah. So they're one of them among, you know, artificial colors and flavors. And I really am not pro food made in a lab.
Oh, I totally agree. Grown from the ground.
Grown from the ground. I actually had this mild argument with my son's hockey coach yesterday, which was quite funny, because he was telling me that he embraced artificial sweeteners and that he feels that there's really no scientific evidence out there that says that they're bad. So we got into a little argument, but then I just walked away because I couldn't continue the conversation.
Right. Well, also, you know, he'll probably have to have the argument a few more times before he'll see it your way.
I have to get him on the show as a guest.
Oh, good idea.
You know, I have to get him on the show as a guest at some point. Jim, you have another question for Caroline?
Well, it goes back to your blog a little bit because it's about preventative medicine versus, you know, most people go to the doctor because they're ill. And what I'm hearing from Dr. Fierro is her practice is more about complete wellness and coming to see you before you have an incident or an illness.
Right.
And I just wonder, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, is it more expensive? If I have an hour and a half of your time, like,
right,
is my insurance pay for this or is this out of pocket? How does it work?
Some insurances do reimburse for my visits. Of course, we're at the beginning of the year now and a lot of people have deductibles. So we do meet those now and then you do get reimbursed as the year goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's preventing the disease. I see a lot of people who are healthy and feel great and they say, I want to stay this way. Can we please look to see what's going on in my body?
Mm-hmm.
And they're always surprised, as am I. I can never predict what they're going to have, that they have a deficiency very commonly in vitamin D or a deficiency in magnesium, different minerals that are really needed to keep us functioning optimally as we go forward. So I do see a lot of people who are well, and it's the price really doesn't vary with what you're coming for, if that makes any sense.
Right. And Stephanie always says you're going to pay either on the front end or the back end.
You certainly
it's
will.
It's much better to pay on the front end.
I would prefer to pay on the front end. I wanted to just ask you one question, too, on because I know that you use supplementation as necessary in your practice. Do you feel that there's a difference in the quality of supplementation that's on the market?
There definitely is a difference in quality. And I use ones that I know have been reviewed independently so we know what is in the supplement when I am recommending it. So you're not getting other fillers and things that you do not want. There's definitely a difference in quality. Do you agree with that?
I do, just actually. Checking. And I have a great source, Life Science Pharmacy. I don't deal in supplementation. I would refer to someone like you or to a clinical dietitian colleague of mine to do supplementation because I always stick with this phrase of you know what you know, you know what you don't know. And supplements were never anything that I wanted to get into. It was food.
Right. And that's why you're here for the food.
That's what I'm doing, the food prescription.
I love it.
Yeah.
I just want to let listeners know that you can call in at 800-394-8830. And we'll be back with our second segment, which is called Anyone Who Eats. I'm going to play for you one song because this woman is one of my favorites. And she won a Grammy yesterday.
Together let the sky fall when
okay, Gear, I think you play this music to lighten me up a bit. And you just, you played Adele, and I love her. I absolutely love her. She's a brilliant woman. And I don't know if you've ever heard her being interviewed, but she's hysterical.
Oh, she's quite funny. She did amazing at the Grammys yesterday. And she looked great. She had this red flowery dress on. It was all over the place.
Oh.
And she's taller than everybody in that room, by the way.
Well, I just adore her. And actually, her music goes beautifully with my favorite food experience of the week. And I want to paint a picture for everybody because we had a very snowy weekend here on the East End.
Yeah.
I relish in the times that I can be in my home and I can cook for my family and friends. And so on Saturday morning, my kids went out sledding and we came home in the afternoon and I made a roasted chicken with just coated in herbs and spices and olive oil and lemon. I did a bunch of seasonal root vegetables underneath. Well, I also did mushrooms and some fresh herbs. And then I made a zucchini risotto, which wasn't a traditional risotto with all the dairy in it. It was just made with broth and water. And then a fennel salad, a shaved fennel salad raw with lemon and scallions. And our dear friends came over for dinner.
Did you lose my number or something?
Weren't you in New York?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You were in New York.
You're off the hook.
You make fennel sound so good.
I know, right? Well, so they came over for dinner, and my friend John, he spent the entire meal moaning, which was hysterical. So I took that as a compliment. In studio now, Caroline, thank you for being here. And we have Dr. Greg Malberti, who is the head of the Ross School. My children go to Ross, and so every time I see Greg, we talk food. So I asked him to please come on the show today because I want to know about your favorite food experience of the week. Do you have one?
My last meal. in the restaurant business, they say you're only as good as your last meal. The last good meal I had was probably last night in the Ross Cafe. We had some skirt steak. We had some steamed clams. We had a little pasta going. There were some sautéed portobellos. Mm-hmm. I think we also had some local cheese and some sun-dried tomatoes.
The Ross Cafe is legendary. I mean, I try to find all kinds of excuses to come and get to eat there.
Is it open to the public?
No, it's not. But if you know somebody,
Why are you talking about it?
Well, we could have you as a guest. Unlike Stephanie, we have a guest list.
Yeah.
We
VIP list.
Right, a VIP list, yes.
Yeah, so that cafe is pretty stellar. I remember when I was in grad school, I went to Columbia, and we had a class my senior year called Seminar in Nutrition Education. And basically, the professor looked at all of us and said, you can study anything you want for this class. You pick the direction of the class. And so I actually chose to study the food program at Ross. And that was back in 2002. And so at that time, Ann Cooper was there, and I met with Ann Cooper, and I came out, and I remember walking in and saying to myself, oh, my God, I have to move out here because my kids have to go to this school. Because of there was just such a feeling of culture, the food being so central to what goes on at Ross. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think schools forget that they're not just serving lunch, but they're teaching people how to eat, particularly boarding schools that are serving three meals a day. I've been working and living in boarding schools for over 25 years, and I'm a foodie, but I have to eat at school. So I've often had more influence in the kitchen than probably my colleagues would have liked. I recall an experience a few years back. I got onto the committee of selecting the new food service at another school where I was working at. And we were located not too far from a lot of truck farms in New Jersey that grow beautiful tomatoes, melons, peppers, fresh vegetables. And really, they grow from late spring and well into early fall. And I never saw any of the things that I would see at the farmer's market on the table at the school. So my question to all of the bidders for this job of being the food service provider was, which of you can work with the local people, local farmers, and give us the kind of food we would like to see on our tables? And it was sort of a stump the band question. All of the national providers just bowed out gracefully, and we finally found some local people who wanted to do it, and ultimately the chef had to take over and become the manager himself. But at Ross, this has been going on since day one. They've worked with all of the local organic farms and local farms that produce all the fresh fruits and vegetables we see all summer long. And I noticed that well into the fall and even in the early spring, we'll see locally produced foods. So it's not necessary that everything come from Texas on a truck in order to serve fresh fruit.
Well, the thing that I find so interesting about what's gone on at Ross and with the cafe is it's really, because I spent a lot of time working in school systems in Harlem back in early, like 2001, 2003. What we really see is that Ross was used to some extent as a model for shifting what was going on in food service in the public school system. And a lot of the people who helped build the program at Ross were instrumental in creating this more sustainable model at schools across the country.
Yeah, it's really a break from tradition of the way food is provided in schools. Many schools think that the way you provide food is that you order prepackaged things, you heat them up, and you serve them. Ross is dedicated to providing prepared foods that we prepare in our own kitchens, that we take raw ingredients and raw materials, and we turn them into lunch and dinner and breakfast. And that's a different approach.
It's really, I mean, if you don't know the Ross Cafe, I highly recommend that you ask for a tour, because it's so brilliant to go in and see what's being done there. And it's, if anything, it's just inspiration. Bring your kids by, because it's really, it's this beautiful open kitchen and this beautiful open dining hall. And my kids are at the lower school, so they get the food service in a different way. The same food, but it's brought down to the lower school. And what I find so fascinating is the integration of the food service into the multicultural platform at Ross.
Right. Our cafe often is featuring a menu that is coming from a period in time or history that our students are studying. Just recently, we did a Mediterranean unit, which is sort of a favorite of mine. And we were treated to everything from figs to raisins to chickpeas and Greek yogurt, all sorts of wonderfully marinated vegetables and lots of treats.
Well, I know today Liz Dobbs, who's the executive chef, she's busy making dumplings.
Right, in celebration of Chinese New Year.
That's amazing, because my older son came home on Friday, and I guess the fourth and fifth graders had made dumplings for the lower campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all had dumplings at lunchtime.
Right. And we let the kids into the food-making process to teach them how things are made. In the seventh grade, I think, recently learned how to make gnocchis and make pasta as well, which is not as easy as it sounds.
Well, now how do new kids that come to this school, how do they sort of adjust to this healthier choices? Because I remember hearing a report where, you know, the schools are being criticized for not giving kids healthier choices. And they said, well, we do try, they just don't go for them, and thus they give up.
Well, we don't have those alternatives that maybe they're looking for. You can look all day in the Ross Cafe and you won't find the chicken nuggets or the sort of prepackaged things. If we do have macaroni and cheese, it's homemade.
Right. You know, and it's funny, parents will say to me, well, you know, my kids only eat chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese. And I'm just worried that my child, if I don't give them that, they're going to starve. And I always look at the parent and I say, you know, you're the boss. Your job is to provide your kids with a variety of healthy foods. Their job is to eat. They're not going to starve. We forget that as parents. They're not going to starve, so they will adjust. It may take time. There may be kicking and screaming, but they will definitely adjust.
I just want to interject a little bit. We're speaking so much about local and, you know, local eats, local gets. So I think it's time for us to hear a word from Brian Howell with our Edible Minute.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this, that Brian has agreed to be a part of this show for Edible Minute. We're going to see how it goes, but pretty exciting. So let's hear what Brian has to say.
On the last episode of Stirring the Pot, a caller asked, what's in season right now? Well, now is the season of seafood. With our farm fields mostly under snow, seafood shops are overflowing with the local haul. Fresh dug clams and oysters, squid, blackfish, striped bass, fluke, and plenty more. Not to mention those tasty little Peconic Bay scallops. Best season in years, they say. The colder the water, the better the fish. And the winter months are a great time to get to know your fishmonger and ask questions about what's local and what's fresh. But how about this for fresh? Two fishermen and one fisherwoman in Montauk are launching a CSF. What's a CSF? Community Supported Fishery. You buy in for the season and you get a weekly share of seafood. This incredible venture is called Dock to Dish, and for a blissful month, my family had the pleasure of being part of its trial run. The first week was 2 pounds of cod. We fried some and made chowder with the rest. The second week we got blackfish, so perfect we ate it raw. The third was black sea bass that we poached with soy sauce. The final week, striped bass, our region's signature fish. Each week's box came with a recipe and a note that told the story of the fish, how it was caught, where, and by who. With help from the concerned citizens of Montauk, Dock to Dish aims to keep money in local fishing fleets while also expanding the supply of excellent local seafood. Dock to Dish is due to launch this spring. We can't wait. If a weekly fish share interests you, you can find Dock to Dish on Facebook or through the concerned citizens of Montauk at 631-238-5720. This is Brian Hallweil of Edible East End. You can find even more tips on knowing your fish at edibleeastend.com.
With additional support from Ross School, serving students in pre-nursery through grade 12 and beyond, with campuses in East Hampton and Bridgehampton, Ross offers a global curriculum in science, math, arts, and humanities, competitive athletics, travel, and college placement, and a wellness program featuring Ross Cafe's regional, organic, seasonal, and sustainable cuisine. More on Ross, including its summer camp and lifelong learning classes, at ross.org. You're listening to Stirring the Pod on WPPB 88.3. I'm Stephanie Sachs. This is a one-hour radio talk show focusing on food, nutrition, and health. We have Dr. Greg Malberti in studio with me, head of the Ross School, and we just heard from Brian Hallweil for our Edible Minute on Dock to Dish.
I think that's such a great idea. I'm signing up, by the way.
Oh, me too. And I'm so excited to know that. So this is Dock to Dish is, as you heard, Brian, community-supported fisheries, and there's one being launched in Montauk, in my hometown, and I'm going to join up. It's just amazing because you were talking last night that you had clams in the cafe, and Brian was talking about how right now what's really in season is the bounty of seafood that we have around us.
Well, anyway, we can get it to the table. It would be great.
Anyway, I made, I guess on Friday night, before the storm, I had stopped at the seafood shop and I had picked up some bay scallops, and I had sautéed them in a little bit of ghee, which is clarified butter, with some lemon and some soy sauce and scallions and some gamasio. Gamasio is, you can get it typically in the health food store. I know King Colin carries it, but it's sesame seeds and sea salt that's mixed in. And so I did that with some rice. It was really nice. I think a bok choy salad. But how about you? Anything to say on seafood, Jim?
I see food. I'm on the seafood diet. I see food, I eat it. That's
all. I'm all about the marinara.
So fra diavolo, seafood fra diavolo would be nice for you.
One of my favorites, yes. And I just, whatever looks the best, in it goes, and out it comes.
Well, so. You know, Greg is such a lover of food. I know that, right? So I have a question for you. I wanted to ask you, what is one love food that you have, one trouble you have, and what's one I can't live without?
Well, cheese is a favorite.
It's a love.
It's just a love, and all manner of cheeses.
And Dr. Fierro is in back of you shaking her head.
But, you know, in reasonable quantity. Right. It's about moderation, and it's about variety, and just enjoying a little
cheese.
Have
you ever had cheese from Me Cox Dairy?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have them on the show, but their dairy is unbelievable.
Okay.
So and trouble?
Trouble? I really don't have trouble with food. I'm an omnivore. I'm happy about that.
So maybe that's the trouble, is that
maybe
you don't
have
the trouble.
Maybe that is the trouble. And really the trouble would be choosing which one I couldn't live without, because it's really hard. It's between the tomato and the pepper. They're both essential to my diet and my happiness, but those are the two I can't live without.
Oh, wow. And, you know, you'd think that my I can't live without would be like broccoli or sushi. But my I can't live without is actually they're gummy bears, because
organic gummy bears?
Well, now organic gummy bears, but I grew up, they were just such a comfort when I grew up. So we're going to wrap this out, and thank you so much, Greg, for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And for our next listeners, we can, you know, call in next week, send those emails, and Twitter us, and you can follow Stephanie Sachs at stephaniesachs.com, and that's Stephanie with an F. And we're looking forward to hearing from you next week.
Stirring the Pot is presented by Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa. For over 15 years, Naturopathica has been the Hampton source for holistically soothing massages and facials, complemented by their complete line of all-natural skincare and anti-aging products. Information available at 631-329-2525 or naturopathicaspa.com. And by East Hampton Dental Group, a multi-specialty dental practice with a caring, experienced team led by Dr. Mambrino and Dr. Venn. They provide many specialties of integrative dentistry all in one location. The state-of-the-art office is located in the heart of East Hampton Village. Information available at 631-324-6800 and ehdental.com. With additional support from Ross School, serving students in pre-nursery through grade 12 and beyond. With campuses in East Hampton and Bridgehampton, Ross offers a global curriculum in science, math, arts, and humanities, competitive athletics, travel, and college placement, and a wellness program featuring Ross Cafe's regional, organic, seasonal, and sustainable cuisine. More information on Ross School, including its summer camp and lifelong learning classes at ross.org.